بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا، يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا. وقال سيدنا وحبيبنا الأعظم صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر عمن يخالل. وبعد، respected علماء الكرام، حفاظ of the Quran الكريم، elders and friends in Islam، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's try and recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Praising and glorifying Allah Azza wa Jal for the greatest favor fathomable that Allah Ta'ala can bestow and confer upon any one human being is undoubtedly the boon and the great favor of Iman, of belief in Allah and all that Allah wants us to believe in, and the teachings and the dictates that this Iman inspires us to in the form of physical practice upon the injunctions of Islam, the most pure and perfect way of life undoubtedly is that which is divinely revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practically demonstrated and manifested by the beloved of Allah in the form of our most beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a natural quality within human nature, having been created to coexist within a community. It follows naturally that a person would have to tread very warily and carefully as to the kind of coexistence or interaction that a person has with fellow human beings. Very important to bear in mind the fact that it is within human nature that he possesses or she possesses the quality of infial or ta'athur, as it is known, these two words in Arabic. In other words, naturally a person, a human being, takes effect from the environment in which a person exists. A person definitely takes effect for the companionship and the social circles that a person chooses for him or herself. So therefore it becomes all the more important for a person to be very wary in this regard. Very simple proof: if the aircon is put on at this moment in the masjid, then naturally everybody would be affected, whether we intend to take the coolness of the aircon or not. If the heater is put on at this moment, similarly, one who had come to the masjid in the rain will naturally be affected by the rain, the clothing will become wet, etc., whether a person had intended to become wet or not. So similarly, the circles that a person finds himself or herself within, the company and friendship a person keeps is of utmost importance, because ultimately, undoubtedly, a person has to take effect from the company one finds oneself in. It is for this reason, after the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most superior group in the entire humanity are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They possessed many outstanding qualities. The cleanliness of the heart at the forefront. They could have been given many titles. They could have been called Salihin. They had all reached the highest levels of piety. They could have been called Mujahideen, for they had strived with every drop of blood for the love of Allah. They could have been called Qurra, proficient reciters of the Quran. They could have been called Qa'imina bil-layl, standing up in communion with Allah in the special moments of tahajjud. They could have been called many other great titles, al-munfiqeen, those who spend generously for the cause and the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. One incident that really strikes the heart as far as generosity is concerned, at a very dire moment in Islamic history, prior to the expedition to Tabuk, to face the huge superpower, the Roman Empire, there was a desperate need for funding this expedition. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting on the minbar, implored the Sahaba to donate generously, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu opened up his heart. Many, many kilos of gold, silver, many camels laden with all the needs and necessities. Such an expenditure, such a financial sacrifice, that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this generosity is so loved by Allah that no matter what Uthman does hereafter, it is accepted by Allah as the means of his maghfirah and attaining the highest ranks in the akhirah. So they could have been called many titles, but the most outstanding, the salient feature that they possessed is suhbah, companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore they are termed sahaba radiallahu majma'in. On this point, very, very importantly, as we learn from the statements of many of the pious predecessors of Islam, let us take absolute care in purifying, in protecting our tongues, our hearts, from any kind of criticism, malicious statements to the select category whom Allah had looked into the purity of their hearts and chosen them for the companionship and the suhbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the great muhaddith Abu Zur'ah rahimahullah ta'ala says, that if any person attempts to be malicious towards, to criticize and find fault with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he is in effect trying to bring down Islam from its foundations, for indeed they are the group who had conveyed our Islam to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the outstanding quality and feature that they possessed was suhbah, companionship. And very, very important in this regard, pertaining to companionship, being selective of one's social circles, of one's friends, peer group pressure is an undoubted scourge that sometimes brings the destruction of a person's entire life because of naivety in that moment of peer pressure, picking up such habits. Alcohol abuse, substance abuse, drugs, immodest behavior, and many, many other qualities that somehow or the other become rampant and rife during this time of the year, that in those few moments of naivety, of being forced or coerced into it because of one's friends and circle around himself or herself, leads a person to make a decision that sometimes could rest with a person detrimentally for the rest of one's life. Statistics in many, many researches have proven, for example, the Alcohol and Substance Abuse Institute in the US has found that more than 70% of learners at schools have been, because of peer pressure, pressurized into alcohol abuse. More than 50% of young girls involved in relationship, purely because of peer pressure, have been forced into sexual relationships. One cannot deny the harmful, the detrimental effects of peer pressure when one finds oneself in the wrong circle of friends. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is one of the Ulul Azm, one of the specially selected Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who enjoys a special rank even within the fraternity of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in emphasizing the importance of sohbah, of being in the company of the friend of Allah Ta'ala, to spend some time in the company of Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam, whom Allah had blessed with a special knowledge not possessed by Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Look at the contrast between the following two examples to understand the impact and the effect of friendship and companionship. On the one hand, we have Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, who had continuously invited his nation towards Allah for 950 years consecutively. Also one of the Ulul Azm and the great Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the pinnacle and the greatest example of steadfastness and patience and tolerance, his very own son, whose name was Kan'an, very sadly, because of wrong companionship and wrong friends, unfortunately left this world without iman and was amongst those destroyed in the deluge and the flood at the time of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Despite being reared in the home of a great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, the impact of his social circles, of his friends, led him out of the fold of Islam. On the other hand, the Ashabul Kahf, the youngsters who had stood steadfast on iman when disobedience to Allah was rife in the community, a dog that is naturally impure, whose very saliva is a form of impurity, and who have been discouraged to keep them as pets, only to maintain them because of security reasons, a dog had taken the companionship of this very select and special group of friends of Allah, and because of this, Allah praises it in the Quran, and according to many scholars, will be one of the very select and few animals, according to the opinion of some scholars, to enter Jannah, the effect and the power of companionship of the pious. Another beautiful example given by one of the great pious people is that take two pieces of marble taken out of the same mine. One is placed on the wall of the masjid, venerated, honored, cleaned on a daily basis. The other piece taken from that very same mine may be placed in a toilet without any benefit, without any regard and honor whatsoever. A piece of silken cloth manufactured in the same factory, one is used as the ghilaf, as the cover of the Kaaba Sharif. A person who is fortunate to be given one of those treasures it dearly for one's entire lifetime. Another piece is taken and used in some curtain in an unimportant place without any regard. Why the difference between the two in an inanimate object? Because of the companionship of that which has barakah and blessings in it. Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam wa radiyallahu ta'ala an, the wise, many great advices that he extended, and Allah attests to his great wisdom. Among the advices to his son, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, follow the pathway and hold steadfastly to the company of those who have turned repentant to me. In other words, keep the company of the pious friends of Allah. Now he says in further words to his son, Ya bunayya jalis as-salihin min ibadillah, O my beloved son, hold steadfastly to the company of the pious servants from the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he explains the reason. He says that at best their good qualities, their piety, their good character will rub off onto you naturally. And at the least, if you cannot inculcate the good qualities by the companionship, then the least that will happen is at some special moment when Allah's mercies descend upon these pious friends of Allah, some of that mercy will engulf you because of being in proximity to them. He says, on the other hand, وَاجْتَنِبْ صُحْبَةَ الْأَشْرَارُ, stay away from the company of those who are disobedient, sinful servants of Allah. At worst, the bad qualities will rub off onto you. And at the least, in the best case scenario, you may be in the company, and at that moment, because of their sin, Allah's anger descends upon them, and that anger might afflict you at the same time. The poet says so beautifully, جَالِسِ الْأَخْيَارَ تَنْجُ مُسَلَّمَا وَجَالِسِ الْأَشْرَارَ يَوْمًا فَتَنْدَمَا. Be in the company of the pious, you will attain salvation. If on the other hand you choose to be in evil and sinful company, definitely a day will come when you will regret that companionship. As Allah says Himself in the Quran, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Those who may have perceived themselves to be friends of one another in this world, on the Day of Judgment will become sworn enemies of one another, unless the friendship was based on taqwa, unless that friendship was of such a nature that it inspired one friend to continuously encourage another in piety, in acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in dissuading him or her from the sinning and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, the sayings of the pious are filled with great wisdom, and these are the friends of Allah. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, the great wali of his time, says, إِنَّكَ إِن تَنْقُلَ الْأَحْجَارَ مَعَ الْأَخْيَارِ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَن تَأْكُلَ الْخَبِيسَ مَعَ الْفُجَّارِ. It would be far better for you to be in the company of the pious and do menial hard work like moving rocks and stones from one place to another. That would be far better for you than being in the company of sinful, of people who have qualities such as shamelessness, substance abuse, drug abuse, bad company. It would be much better for you to be in the company of the pious, doing menial work, moving stones from one place to another, than to be in the company of sinful people, eating the most luxurious and most sumptuous foods of the time. Now, to get some understanding, on the one hand, as mentioned, the detrimental effects of bad social circles, the harmful effects of peer pressure, especially at this time of the year when there is an atmosphere of partying, of free thinking, how many a few moments of a bad decision can even cost a youngster his life. In an intoxicated state, being on a high, at high speed, involved in some kind of sin or another. But more detrimental even than that is being in the company of those who lead each other astray as far as the beautiful teachings of Islam are concerned, as far as the pristine sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his mubarak ways are concerned. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the sworn enemies of Islam was a man named Uqba bin Abi Mu'it. On an occasion, he invited all the hierarchy, all the people of the Quraysh to a function at his home. This, notwithstanding the fact that he was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to partake of the meal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that I shall only eat of your food if you recite and proclaim the kalima. And this was a burning desire in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every one of humanity should be granted hidayat and guidance. Let us inculcate this love of hidayah for the general masses not bestowed with the great favor of Islam in our surroundings, within our country. By means of words, by means of actions, by means of dealings, let us become natural attractors to the beauty of Islam. So Uqba bin Abi Mu'it recited the kalima, but merely to have the honor of having Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eating of his food, and this is the sworn enemy of Islam. After some period, a friend of his, Ubay bin Khalaf, who was on a journey, returned. And when he heard that his close bosom friend Uqba had recited the kalima and entered the fold of Islam, he was furious. He reprimanded his friend, "Have you also forsaken the religion of our forefathers and entered this new religion?" Uqba then put forward the excuse that I merely recited those words to have the honor of having a great man eat of my food. Ubay said to him, Wajhi, and this is the crux of what we are saying today, Wajhi min wajhika haram, hatta tarudda alayhi shahada, wa tabzuqa fi wajhi, wa tada'u rijlaka ala unuqih, wal ayadu billah. That my friendship is cut off with you as from today, unless you go and refute his words in his face, na'udhu billah. More than that, spit into his face and thereafter place your foot on his neck, na'udhu billah. Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt took this despicable decision, pressurized into it because of his friendship and companionship, did exactly as his friend had ordered. And Allah in response to this revealed the verses, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. Picture the scene on the day of judgment when this great oppressor Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt will be biting on his fingernails in remorse and in regret, and will make a profound statement that is advice for me and for you sitting here. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. He will say, how I wish destruction be to me. How I wish that I had never taken so and so as my friend. Ya waylata laytani attakhadtu ma'ar rasooli sabila. How I now wish and desire that I should have rather taken the Rasul of Allah as my friend in life. يا ويلتا ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا. And this is how Shaitan misleads people, that after I had received hidayat and guidance, he led me astray from it. And all of this because of selecting and choosing the wrong friendship, the wrong companionship. What kind of company do we keep and hold steadfastly to? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the great scholar of tafsir, Hibrul Ummah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says, a person once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the question, Ayyu julasa'ina khair, that which of our friends would constitute the best company for us? Whom can we term as the best of our friends? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laid down three beautiful qualities, three beautiful criteria. Man dhakkarakum Allah ru'yatuh. That person, that friend, that merely by looking at him reminds you of Allah. Sitting in his company inspires you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْطِقُهُ. And his speech increases your knowledge of deen. The more you sit in his company and listen to his advice, the more it increases your knowledge of deen. وَذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. And his every action inspires you to remember the akhirah. His every word, his every statement, nay, his every intention gives you the impression that this man is living for the akhirah. These are the three qualities to be found in a person that should make you give all the wealth of this world to be in the company of such a person. To repeat these three qualities, which of our friends should we consider as good company? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that person merely by looking at him inspires you to remember Allah. Secondly, his every word increases your knowledge. And thirdly, his actions inspires you to remember and prepare adequately for the akhirah. One of the close companions, as an example of the kind of friendship, one of the close companions of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab rahimahullah says that I've been in the company of Sa'id for 40 years and I've noticed that in 40 years not a single salah had he missed performing in the first saf of Jama'at Salah. So very, very important in conclusion, especially firstly to myself, to our youth, to every one of us, the effects of peer pressure are undoubted, and more importantly, the manifestation of the kind of company we keep, as Allah says, will be manifested on the day of judgment. Al-akhillau yawma idhim ba'duhum li ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqin. That all friends on the day of judgment will become sworn enemies of one another, except that friendship and that companionship whose basis was taqwa, piety and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.